Welcome to Faith for the Journey. I like to always start with worship, and it just kind of sets the tone, the mood for our conversation. I'm so excited to be with you. This is Sam Omedes. If you listen to Healing of the Heart podcast, you know I love Sam Omedes, and I want to include some reggae tonight. How can I not include reggae? Yes, that's my background, right? That's a cultural piece I'm bringing in tonight. Come up higher. Why your story matters. That's why you have to come up higher. It's a fight, but it's a good fight. If you ever get a chance, check out Samuel Medas. It's S-A-M-U-E-L, Medas, M-E-D-A-S. Oh, he's from Guyana. I was playing this song yesterday. Yesterday when I was at work, it just lifted me up. I was like, yes, God has so much more for me every single day. You know what? I have him on Apple Music. I have like pretty much all his records. When he first started out, his humble beginnings, Samuel Medas. I want to give him credit because it's not my song. And I know these things are very important to cover when you're using other people's material. Good evening. I'm going to stop that. I had it on YouTube. I didn't even play from my Apple list. I could have done that. I'm so hooked on YouTube too. Anyhow, my girls always say, Mom, why do you pay for this? And you have it. You're always going to YouTube. Use your Apple Music. You pay for it. They're right. But I keep forgetting that I have it. Anyway, I'm so excited to be with you on this episode number 5, Why Your Story Matters. You know, I just want you to know, I'm really excited about doing this podcast. And, you know, I was talking to my husband. We talk about everything. He's my best friend. And by the way, he celebrated his birthday yesterday. I'm going to give a big shout out to my husband, Joseph Henry, you know, celebrating his 50th birthday. I don't think he'll appreciate me telling you exactly what number he is. You know, he likes to tell people, you know, she's older than me. He's talking about me. I'm like, he's lying. Anyway, just, you know, really thanking God for him, honestly. Honey, if you're listening tonight, happy birthday. And wishing you many, 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 many more. Of course, us together, right? Not apart, obviously. Wishing you a very healthy and happy birthday, and wishing God's richest blessing on you throughout the second half of your life. 50 is a no joke. I'm heading that direction, and I'm grateful for that. You know, not many people get to make it through their 50s. And so if you're still here, you're still above ground, your story matters. And this is episode number 5. Again, this is Keisha Henry with Faith for the Journey. Every time I'm about to say healing of the heart, because I've said that for like 1 year, you know, funny enough, I was looking at the podcast, Healing of the Heart, yesterday, and I see that, you know, there's still downloads are still happening on that podcast. I'm so grateful to God for that, because you guys know my story. And if you haven't, you can hear about it on that podcast. I think I did, I'm not sure how many episodes, but it was a real blessing for me and for others. I get feedback all the time. You know, feedback is important, right? All kinds of feedback, because then you get to know what to do with it, you know? So anyway, I am Keisha Henry, and I'm happy to be with you this evening on episode number 5. And I don't know if you've been watching my media posts. I try to do 1 or 2 or 3 per week. I've been really slacking because I've been really busy, you know. But I'm trying to do better to kind of put out, you know, the episodes when they're coming ahead of time. I've been doing weekly episodes. That's one of the feedback that I did get when I was doing Healing of the Heart. You're going to hear me say that from time to time, because it matters, you know. My story matters too, because my story includes your story. You know, all of this week I've been talking about co-authoring, how we co-author each other's story, you know, and that's really important. And that's the interdependence of each other and our interactions with each other that really keeps us and that helps us to move along through life. And so I'm really happy to be here this evening, and I hope you are too. And, you know, I was about to say, well, I'm just going to say it. Yeah, I always say, I'm going to go ahead and do video so you can see me. And I still have yet to do that, but bear with me. It's coming. It's coming. As a matter of fact, right now I'm wearing my I Am a Woman of Abundance t-shirt. You know, that was a big thing for me in Healing of the Heart last year. It's still a big thing. You know, I'm still wearing my shirts. Are you wearing your shirts, ladies? If you're listening to this podcast and you've been with me from God knows when last year, you know, New Beginning Healing Institute, we've been around now for 5 years. August this year will be 6 years. We're celebrating 6 years in August, August 15th, 2024 will be 6 years of New Beginning Healing Institute. And so hence Healing of the Heart, hence Faith for the Journey podcast. But yeah, I'm wearing my t-shirt. I am a woman of abundance. And you know, the more I tell myself that for the past 2 years, I've been saying that this inspiration came to my heart when I was finishing up the book, Healing of the Heart. And, you know, remember, the more you tell yourself the truth is the more you believe it, because so often we believe lies every day. I mean, honestly, we believe a ton of lies, you know, and so no wonder why we feel so yucky. No wonder why we feel like our story doesn't matter, because we believe everything else but the truth. We don't put enough time, starting with me, we don't put enough time into believing the truth and meditating upon that and reflecting on that. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Can you like hear it? Yeah, we're going to talk about, you know, what the exception. So I don't know, the last time we left off, when I pause like that, it's because I remember something else I need to say. So I have to also make sure that I do disclosures, right? So this podcast, you know, I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and much of the things I talk about is grounded in the work that I do. But again, this podcast, I move away a lot from Healing of the Heart. It was very clinical, very academic. And so Faith for the Journey is more just down to earth, more, you know, day-to-day living issues, like, you know, simple things to big things, right? And, you know,
the theme of Faith for the Journey, the theme there is, you know, really to be empowered, to, you know, be strengthened, to be encouraged, to cultivate faith. Guys, we need it. I need it every single day. I'm telling you, I'm faced with different things. You're faced with different things. And so we need to, we need faith for the journey every second, every day. So things get tough sometimes when we talk about them, you know? So one of the things I want to always share up front is that if this podcast, at any point that you're listening, guys probably hear my voice shaking, it's because I'm burning incense and it's like really strong. Anyhow, but if this podcast becomes heavy at any point, I want you to stop it. I want you to get off, you know? I often talk about, you know, breath work and doing some deep breathing, stepping outside where you're seated, getting up, walking around, turning it off completely, you know? And I always share again here too, if you're feeling unsafe with yourself, you know, I try to humanize this conversation every day when I work with my clients too. I'm like, hey, you know what? And I can't tell you that I've been doing this a while, been doing this for 18 years coming up in August. Can't believe it. I'm getting older. And I tell you what, I always try to humanize this. And the more I do this, is the more appreciation I have for each other. I always say, look, if you're feeling unsafe with yourself, please, I hope that I am one of the persons that you'll consider telling. Or if it's not me, find someone that you feel safe calling. Because you know what? There is no need to end your story abruptly. We need to finish your story. So I always talk about the fact that there are resources. And, you know, there's a new suicide crisis line. It's 988. Dial 988, push 1. There is no shame in calling that number. All right. And if you don't want to call that, and, you know, go to your local hospital, talk to someone. There are people out there who really, really care. And so I just want to make sure I do that disclosure up front. And I'm going to weave it through in the middle, and I'm going to weave it through at the end. But if I don't get to do that, I always like to make sure that I do it up front, because that's really important. We're living in a very, very volatile time. It's not new, though. You know, where we are in history, we're just on the pendulum where we're living those experiences. But where we are in our time, this has happened before. Just check history. It will tell you. All right? We're going to take a pause. And when I get back, so before I get back, what I want us to contemplate, where I want to pick up on, it's funny, I was talking to someone yesterday in our time together. She said, you know what? I was talking about the podcast. She said, you know, I like podcasts where, you know, it kind of builds off of each other. I was like, yeah, that's what this podcast is like. You know, that's the nature of this podcast. And I do like that the nature of this podcast where each episode builds on the other. And so we're going to take a break. We're going to play some more music, always, right? But the last time we left off, I left off asking you about what are your limitations or circumstances, right, that limit you, right? What are they? So that's one reflection point where we left off. But I also left off by asking you, how will you break up, right, this hardness around your faith, right? This limitation that's created a hardness around your faith, or maybe limitations, maybe there are several, you know, because life can seem really impossible. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it really can. You know, talking about feeling isolated, feeling depressed, you know, not having family around, or maybe you have family, but they don't really care. They kind of like just, you know, wrote you off. Maybe you're not in a church where you don't feel like you're loved or welcomed or that you're important. Maybe you're in a work environment where all of those things are true. I mean, it's just, maybe you're a single parent. I can talk about many of these things that I just said. That's why I bring them up, because I've lived them. You know, many times in my work, clients say, you know what? You seem like you really understand. I'm like, if you only knew. Yeah, I do. I get it. You know what I mean? I really do, which is why that's why I can be so authentic, because I do get it. But yeah, you know, any of these things, that's why I like Faith for the Journey, because we can talk more about these things, you know, these everyday things that really are a big deal. So my question is, you know, how will you break up that hard ground, you know, that ground that has so hard, and it just makes the faith hard to come through. It just makes it hard to break through. Is it a limitation? Is it a circumstance? What is it? But how will you break it up? Remember the first rain and the latter rain, remember? Right. So I don't know, how have you connected with this since our last time together? Reflect on that. We're going to come back. And so let's make the dots connect then. So that's why your story matters, because your story matters when you can cultivate your faith so you can see the rest of your story through. All right, we're going to pause and take a break. We're going to play some more music. And I'll be honest, I have some stuff, you know. I've added some stuff, and because I've been looking forward, I look forward to this. So we're going to pull up the Faith for the Journey podcast list. Yes, I have a designated list. I'm so excited about that. You should see my face. Yes, you will one, you know, soon. I'll get the video going. And, you know, it's a song by Danny Gokey. You know, I like Danny Gokey. He said, "It's a new day." Here we go.
Wake up and breathe in deeper than yesterday. Take on the morning like your soul's busy made. Roll down the windows, let your cares fly away. Good things are yours to claim, you don't have to wait. All across the sky, the mercy's bright. And the future's bright. This is a new day. Everything bursting with hope. Coming alive. This moment, moment. You got freedom. No looking back anymore. Open your eyes. It's coming, coming. This is a new day. The old is gone away. The old is gone away. This is a new day. Dreams. Become the one you never thought you could be. All across the sky, the mercy's bright, and the future's bright. This is a new day, everything bursting with hope. Coming alive, this moment, moment. You got freedom, no looking back anymore.
I love Danny Gokey. I know. I love a lot of music. I love music. I don't know. How about you? You know, music is a very potent form to lift you out of depression. And, you know, words, I think I was talking a lot the first episode or second episode, talking about the power of energy, different types of energy. You know, the Bible calls, instead of using the word energy, the Bible says spirit, you know. But it's true, you know. I mean, this happens. I was in the presence of someone And after I was finished, I felt so drained and heavy. You should check this out. You should really pay attention. How you're in the presence of some people, you just feel so heavy. And then you're in the presence of others and you're like, wow, you feel like, man, that was a great conversation. You're like, you feel very elevated. You feel lifted. People carry their, you know, people have certain types of energy with them, you know? So yeah, songs, words, and certain songs carry that too. You know, it depends, right? On what you're listening to, what words, everything is energy really. You know, everything has a kernel. Remember I talked about that kernel? Yeah, that makes up the constitution of the thing. Yeah, you know? So everything has a kernel. Songs have kernels. People have kernels, you know? The Bible calls them spirits, right? But yeah, so this song is very uplifting. All right, so pardon, I need to take a sip of water, guys, because I talk a lot. I talk a lot all week. I mean, I do. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're from the New Beginning Healing Institute community, what's up? I probably talked to you guys this week, right? You know, I need some water. And, you know, I just want to tell you that I appreciate you too. I mean, man, you guys rock. When I say guys, meaning women and men, because I do work with both, obviously. You know, thank you for putting in the work. I mean, I really, and you know, also thank you for like believing in the work that we do together. I mean, every time someone calls and says, hey, you know, I was referred to you, yada, I'm like, wow, I just, really? Okay, great. You know, sometimes I'm like, what did they tell you? You know, I start getting worried. But then, you know, I smile to my heart because that means, you know, something good's happening in our work together. So I just appreciate you. I mean, you privilege me every time. Without you, there's no me. And that's how it works. All right, so let's continue. So this podcast builds on each other, right? Last time we're picking up on now, you know, hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about what? I'd like to read to you some poetry tonight. It's not my poetry. It's someone else's poetry. It's called the liturgy. Hold on. It's from a liturgy before a meal eaten alone, right? So this is addressing basically loneliness. So we're going to take a look at different themes tonight that perhaps can contribute to one feeling like their story doesn't matter. Yeah, look at different themes. Loneliness is a very heavy thing. It's a very real thing. Loneliness, then there's economic hardships. There's poverty. You know, my husband always says, his mother says, you know, poverty should be a crime. She's right, you know, it should be. Poverty should be a crime. especially when, you know, people have the power to help and to do for others, you know. So I'm going to take a look at, you know, that theme. Essentially, the overall theme basically is powerlessness. Powerlessness, you know, when we're isolated, when we're feeling lonely, and there's perhaps nothing seemingly that we can do, it's a sense of powerlessness, all right? So powerlessness sometimes can show up in different ways. And we're going to talk about different ways in which it shows up and why people feel like they don't matter, right? But your story matters. So we're going to talk about these aspects, and then we're going to look to see why it actually is that your story matters. Okay. So I'm going to read to you poetry. It's called a liturgy from a liturgy before a meal eaten alone. It says, and then it gives scriptures to support it, right? I found scriptures around it and I loved it. The poetry reading, and then Psalms 27 and then Deuteronomy 31, 1-8. And this is the poetry that I found. It says, you created us for companionship, O God, for the sharing of burdens, for the joining of celebrations, for the breaking of bread and fellowship. And so it is not unnatural that we should taste a particular sorrow when passing our hours alone. I like this part. This part I kind of like put parentheses around. It says, sit with me and linger in this solitary place, O Lord. In the absence of human companions, may I know more fully your presence. In the silence where there is no conversation, may I more clearly hear your voice. Use my own momentary loneliness to work in me a more effectual sympathy for others who are often alone and who long for the companionship of their God and of his people. Let me afterward be more intentional in the practice of hospitality. Let me sometimes be the reason the loneliness of another is relieved. Meet me now in my own loneliness, O Lord. I thought, how beautiful is that poetry? And then I went ahead and read the Psalms, and you can too if you wish. Psalms 27. I love that Psalm a lot. And of course, Deuteronomy 31, 1 to 8, it addresses loneliness. Why am I infusing scripture? Because remember, the last time before we left off, we started looking at, you know, what science says about incorporating, spiritual or religious practices, right? And so that's the reason why I decided now in episode 5 to begin to make that a reality then, to include that. To say, hey, yeah, this is underscored. There's a reason why this works, you know. And so the last time we talked about some of the statistics that was provided, and I'll weave that in again tonight. But not to get too academic on that point, but listen to the poetry that was written by someone who was feeling lonely, a sense of loneliness, and in some ways felt unseen and felt unheard and like their story did not matter. I'm not sure what parts of the poetry resonated with you. Well, I'm going to spend a few minutes here and tell you what part resonates with me. The part that resonates with me is, it says, use my own momentary loneliness to work in me a more effectual sympathy for others who are often alone and who long for the companionship of their God and of his people. So that this lets me know that my story matters because I'm not alone. It's not just me. You know, oftentimes, you know, we feel like, you know, we're the only person experiencing this particular feeling, and no one sees us, and, you know, somehow or another, you do not matter. And here this person is saying, you know, work in me a more effectual sympathy for others who are often alone. So there are other people who are alone, and that's the truth. That's the problem. A lot of people are alone, and because they're alone, they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. Then they decide to cut their story short, right? To abbreviate their story and take matters into their own hands. And they feel like, well, I'm just going to end it. And very clearly here, it shows that people who are lonely, people who feel alone, let me pause here for a second. People can feel alone, like inside, and then people feel lonely, like there's no one, right? So there's a difference, okay? So people can feel alone inside. They have people around them, right? They have people who are like literally in their home with them. And, you know, they can go next door, and somehow inside there's such a void. I want to address that. That void, and I have felt like that in my life too. And I have met many other persons that feel like that. And oftentimes, this is going to hurt a little bit. If you work with me, you know, I say stuff like, this is not going to feel good. But oftentimes when persons feel that sense of void and emptiness and aloneness, it's because oftentimes there's a history there of abandonment. There's a history of rejection. And it sucks. It really feels really, really bad. It's a yucky feeling, okay? You know, meaning that perhaps, you know, maybe when you were growing up, right? When you were growing up, you did not feel that sense of connection. And because you did not feel that sense of connection growing up, you really don't have a strong sense of identity. You're talking to that person. I understand. And so that feeling, the brain, the amygdala carries that. Oh my gosh, it really carries it, you know? It carries it. And then you know what happens? When things happen in life out of our control, you know, maybe it's a financial situation, maybe it's a broken relationship, and maybe you got slighted at work or you got slighted by some friends, and then you're not really sure how to deal with or handle those things. Or maybe you handled it, but somehow you weren't recognized or acknowledged, right? That feeling of aloneness can really rear its ugly head. And oftentimes, if it's not addressed, this is when people isolate even further. And this is when people harm themselves and their story, like their story doesn't matter. So, but your story matters. We're going to get to the why. I'm going to get to the why. So that's one aspect of, you know, why people feel like their story doesn't matter, right? That's one aspect of it. And, you know, when we have a history of abandonment and rejection, those are elements that causes one to not have faith. Yes. Those are the elements that lead or cause that hard ground that the Bible talks about, break up your fallow ground, that hard stuff. Those are the things that harden us and make us not have faith. Those are the things that make us not believe anyone. Those are the things that make us not believe, because then we turn and say, well, why did God let that happen? Have you said that? We're going to talk about that in the next episode. Why did God let that happen? Why? Why did he let this happen to me? Why did he let that happen to me? Man, I've said that. I've said that a lot of times. I really have. And, you know, and I've had someone this week that I worked with that said the same thing. It was a man. Tears. Yes. It was tough. I'm not going to lie. That was tough. That was tough. That was tough. That was tough. But I'm here to give God glory, because God brought me through that and brought us through that. I'm telling you, God is so good. He's so good. I mean, you know, it's funny, right? Because, like, I don't know how this happens. I'm telling you, I really don't know. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. Sometimes I'm working, I don't have anything in my working space that says I'm a Christian. I don't. I don't have it. I've never had that. And if you've worked with me, you've come to my office, you've never really seen me have anything that says Jesus Christ or anything like that. You don't. And I wouldn't say every now and then. It happens more often than I can actually remember. Are you a Christian? Man, it feels calm in here. There's something different about your space. Okay. I mean, even, you know, like, really, virtually, you can feel that? Or even when I was in the office, like, right? But God has a way of doing things. So when we say, God let that happen, in one breath, someone can say, God, why you let that happen? And in the next breath, someone says, you know, at the end of the session, you know, gee, you know, your office feels different. It's kind of calm in here. Like, okay, that's interesting. And I'm like, wow, look at that. And not, no, you know, nowhere in there is God, I say anything about God. I don't have to. His presence speaks, right? So does God let, you know, God cause these things to happen? I don't know. We're gonna put that. I'm gonna make a note on that, because that has been a reoccurring statement. So take a look at that. Feeling alone, you know, has these other parts to it, and it's attached to us. And unfortunately, you know, it really brings about this hardness in our heart. And then, you know, then there's loneliness when you're just physically alone. When you're definitely alone, you have no one around you. Maybe, for some people, if you're listening to this podcast and you're maybe overseas, you're in the military, you moved away from home. I work with quite a few college students. Part, you feel alone. There's loneliness. If you listen to the poetry, right, and even for persons who feel alone inside, one of the reasons why your story matters is because, remember, we talked about the importance of co-authoring. You have to understand that communities are built and formed with interdependence. That means a fancy way of saying, that's a fancy word, but you and I together, that's how we get to sustain. And so if you listen to the poetry, it says, use my own momentary loneliness to work in me a more effectual sympathy for others who are often alone. Did you know that research is very clear about? So yes, even though it's Faith with a Journey, I still include research in this work, because it grounds what we're talking about. It gives credibility. So I use science and I use the scriptures. It's true. By the way, the scripture is science. Yes. Well, predictability, outcomes. Okay. So we talk about this being able to be there for someone else. So research shows that when we're able to give to someone else, to see the pain in someone else, you know, research is very clear about being able to have meaning and purpose in your life. See, so when we're talking about first, I just got through talking about alone, right? So I'm differentiating alone. Oftentimes, feeling alone inside, even though we have other people around us, comes from this void, comes from, historical backgrounds of persons who have had abandonment and rejection and, you know, a host of other traumatic experiences that left them feeling alone inside. That's very real, okay? I work with this forever, all right? And when we peel the layers back, that's the heart of the matter. But then there are people who are just lonely because they're not with a family or friends, they're lonely. But in either case, and the first is greater, I'll be honest there, because that's more things that we need to work through. And I'm going to pause here and say, find a sound therapist to work through these, what I call remote historical pieces in your life. They're very remote because they happened a long time ago. So these remote pieces will need to be addressed. Listen, I would really find it hard pressed, right, to talk about faith and to talk about God when clearly when things happen in our lives, it is a process. You have to work it through. Existentially, you have to work it through. I mean, he did say faith without works is dead, right? So what that simply means is you need to do your part. You need to do your part. And this is why I love this work so much, because the people who have that little kernel of faith and courage in them that comes to sit down on the couch with me, you know, I'm like, man, yeah, you're doing it, because you need to work through this piece. You know, one of the elements, I asked a question a few seconds ago about what will it take to break up, right, the hardness around your faith, the hardness that keeps your faith from emerging, the hardness around that kernel that was depositing you from the very beginning. What will it take? Remember last time, you know, we talked about, well, maybe the first strain will be this podcast. I'm hoping that there are other elements that will help, right? To germinate, you know, the ground in your heart, the ground in your life, you know, to help you to cultivate this faith. Because you know what? Hey, the things that happen to us, they are existential. And if you're just joining us, let me just say what existential is. Existentialism is a framework that looks at the things that happen in our lives outside of our control, right? Poverty, crime, death. I mean, I can go on in life transitions. These are existentialistic things that happen that they do not consult our daytime planner or calendar. And let me just tell you, what it takes to manage that is not the external things in life. It'll be something much deeper. It'll be the faith. Your faith is required. And it's faith is not something that is seen. You can't grab it out of the thin air. You can't go to the store and buy it. It's something that's cultivated within, because it's within you to begin with. It's just that it's hardened. It's just that it's covered. It's just that it's, you know, it's just been dampened by the existential things that have happened, right? We're going to take a pause. And then when I come back, I'm going to read to you. So I read you this poetry, but then I want to read to you the scripture from Corinthians that highlights this theme that we're talking about, you know, why your story matters. Why? And I just got through talking about, you know, aloneness and loneliness as an element of, you know, why people feel like their story doesn't matter, like they don't matter, and why they decide to, you know, to just abruptly just, you know, hey, end it, you know? So we're going to pause here. It looks like someone joined it says Mr. B Great Times entered the live studio. Well, welcome, Mr. B Great. Thank you for joining Faith for the Journey. I'm going to take a pause and I'm going to play another song from Faith for the Journey podcast. So what am I going to play, guys? I don't know. I think I'm going to find, I didn't add him to the list, but let's see. You know, I'm going to play this one, Mendisa.
People drive by, T-Mac on the radio.
on your mind? Nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Don't quit. Don't give in. You are an overcomer. And, you know, you don't have to feel like it to believe that. Just know that it's true because you are an overcomer. I am an overcomer. And, you know, we have to remind ourselves of these truths every day, every hour, if need be. We are an overcomer. All right. So, you know, in the pause, I was just thinking about the next, I don't know, example that sheds light on, you know, different existential things that we face in our lives. So, you know, in the first half, we talked about, I spent a great deal of time talking about aloneness and loneliness and, you know, kind of, I don't know, trying to put the differentiation between the two because they are different. They are very different, you know. Very different. The first one, you know, you feel a great sense of disconnect. And that's bad when you don't feel a sense of connection to the people in your life. And the thing about that is, and, you know, it makes me think about the people in even in celebrity world, they end up killing themselves and they have a lot of people around them. They have a lot of people around them. They have a lot of money. I mean, they have a lot of things, you know, and they have people. So they have human capital, you know, they have, you know, a financial capital, and yet they still feel a sense of disconnect. That's because they have a deeper inner void that needs to be addressed. Yes, you know, and that's pretty sad. And, it, you know, I see it
you know, day after day, I do see this stuff. It gets heavy. You know, sometimes I get the question, do you take this stuff home? No, I don't. I used to, when I was first starting out in my career back in my 20s, I did. You can ask my husband, he'll tell you. I just take the stuff home. I don't take it home. I don't have to. I don't. I really don't have to. All right. I mean, I know how to leave that stuff where it needs to be left, because ultimately, you know, God handles all that and I give that to him. So now let's look at this other element of why people consider that their story doesn't matter. You know, this element of, again, the overall theme is powerlessness. Is powerlessness, you know, feeling a sense of powerlessness, not to feel connected to people. I have no influence. You know what I mean? I have no influence. I mean, I'm a nobody, you know. Abandonment and rejection speaks very loudly sometimes. I often tell my clients, I want to turn that volume down, way down. It's too loud. And then there's loneliness, physical and environmental, geographical loneliness. I should qualify it like that, the second loneliness and how that impacts us. But then I was clear about how, you know, the first one, you need to get really some help with that. You need to get some sound professional help to help to work through that so you can find meaning in your life, so you can connect to yourself, so you can better connect to yourself, so you can connect to others. Without that, it's kind of impossible, I'll be honest. You know, and when those are not addressed, people end up, you know, with very, what we call very, you know, low impulse control, drinking, drugging, you know, and then if there's mental illness already involved, then mental illness become even more severe, right? Because then we start doing things that are very impulsive and they're very dangerous to them, to themselves and others. So can you see why your story matters? Can you see that why faith is so important though? I'm telling you, now is a good time to kind of throw in there, you know, just kind of continue to reinforce the importance of, you know, spiritual practices, you know, and I want to make sure that because I'm almost out of time and gee, I didn't finish everything I want to talk about. but one of the things I want to talk about, or reinforce rather, I should say, you know, is psychological states, right? You know, such as, you know, your emotions, your behavior, your thoughts. You know, did you see the video I made on Thursday talking about thoughts and emotions? You should check that out on the YouTube video. I can't get into that tonight, but look up Keisha Henry, LCSW psychotherapy, something like that on YouTube. And you see my little, you know, insight about that. But your psychological states, right? Research shows that religious or spiritual groups could promote more positive emotions. So we have different states, right? Different moods that we're in. So psychological states are our positive emotions, our behavior and our thoughts, such as hope, right? Hope is important to hold on to. Remember that I talked about hope, faith? You can't grab it out the sky. You can't go buy it off the shelf. You need to cultivate that. But our psychological states, like our positive emotions, behavior, thoughts, such as hope, optimism, compassion for others, and oneself, being, right? Remember I read that poetry to you, talking about being able to help others? Yes. Helping others, right? Really what it does, it has an elixir in it. I like that word elixir. It has this elixir in it that does something intangible to you, to your spirit, to your emotions that you cannot figure out. I'm telling you, it's powerful. So yeah, that's what it does. When we infuse religious or spiritual, you know, groups, or, you know, be in a setting that helps us. Remember I talked about this interdependence, being a part of something, right? It promotes this hope, this optimism, and it promotes compassion for others and for oneself. And guess what? And it also helps persons to be able to forgive. I cannot tell you, I've worked with women that have had significant, you know, physical and sexual traumas. And I'm gonna tell you, forgiveness is one of the hardest things to work through. I have to be honest. You know, I mean, I've done a lot of different things in the work, but I have to say, when it comes on to sexual trauma, physical and sexual trauma, that forgiveness is hard to give. All right. Now remember, forgiveness is volitional, right? Meaning that you have to choose to do it. But not because you choose to forgive, it means that forgiveness happens immediately. It doesn't. Now, if somebody tells you that, they're lying. I'm telling you that, all right? It does not happen overnight. But the moment that you choose to forgive, that's when the healing starts, right? And once again, This is a time where I say, find a sound therapist to help you to work through that, sound and also qualified in that particular area of work, right? To help you to work through those kind of traumas. Because I'm going to tell you, those kind of traumas will make it difficult to cultivate faith. It will make it difficult to tap into what I just talked about. You know, promoting positive optimism, positive, it's going to make it hard to tap into the spiritual part of yourself. So you can, when you cannot access that part of you, your life will be miserable. Are you living a miserable life right now? Consider what I'm saying. So religious or spiritual activities, right? They promote a positive psychological state. It allows you to be able to tap into compassion for yourself, and you're able to give it to somebody else. And that includes forgiveness. And I find too that people have a hard time forgiving themselves. They do. Now, I have 9 minutes to get out of here. Oh my gosh, I still haven't covered everything. But I want to really just impress upon you then that if we're going to get to the psychological, this spiritual part of us, right? If we're going to get there, then, you know, you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide, right? Because your story matters. Now, I want to read to you a quick story out of the book of Kings. All right, out of the book of Kings, I'm gonna read to you two scriptures. One, out of the book of Kings, and one out of 2 Corinthians, and then that's where we're gonna wind down. These two scriptures will cement or solidify why your story matters. Tonight, I looked at elements of loneliness, aloneness. Now, I want to close out with looking at elements of poverty. These are existential things that happen to us. That hardens our faith, that sends the message that your story doesn't matter. So now I want to read to you out of the book of Kings, okay? I'm going to pull it up on my phone. And this is 2 Kings chapter 7. So real quick story, right? So now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die?" So now let me give you a backdrop. There was a war going on. There was a war going on and there's famine, and basically their city was pillaged, and they had nothing within their setting to eat. So there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here till we die? You know, they're saying, okay, so yeah, we have leprosy. There's a war going on that we did not, we're like peasants, we don't have any say about whether a war happens or not. Kind of like living our time. What I would say about if they war with Russia, we don't have, okay. But they're saying, hey, you know, my story still matters. And even though I have leprosy, and even though, you know, we don't have much of anything, why stay here till we die? And they said, if we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So, you know, in my country, we say, well, damn if you do, damn if you don't. So you might as well do. I used to hear my grandmother say that. So let's go over to the camp of the Armenians and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. The camp was empty. The camp was empty. So they decided to do something because their life mattered. They say, if we stay here, we're going to die anyway. And if we go, so we might as well take a chance on something. So what was that chance they were taking? They were acting upon faith, something within them. They have a kernel within them that says, you know what? Their life mattered. And so they said, we're going to go anyway. We're going to try. So at dusk, they got up. I'm going to read that part again. They got up and went to the camp of the Armenians. When they reached the edge of the camp, they didn't even quite get into the camp. Pay attention. It says, not a man was there. Why? For the Lord had caused the Armenians to hear the sound of chariots, glory be to God, and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk, right? and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys, and they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. So God made the enemies hear a bunch of junk, right? And they left their own place and left everything behind. And these two peasants who had leprosy, they had a lot of stuff going on in their lives. They had a bunch of junk going on. They had a lot of stuff going on, but they decided something in them, that kernel in them, made them get up and go down to the city. And they didn't even quite get into the city. And God allowed it where that they were able to be fed. I mean, they had the entire city to themselves to get what they reaped an abundance, basically. Why? Because of faith. I wonder what made them go. Huh? Well, I mean, they had to have some kind of hope, some kind of optimism that made them go down to the city to get something to eat, right? So I want to underscore here, what were they assigning value to? What? I often ask these questions in my sessions. When we make decisions, what value are you assigning? You know, unconsciously, we are assigning value. But if you don't pay attention to what you're assigning value to, you just do it blindly. But these two men, they were not blind about what they're assigning to. They're assigning value to their lives. They knew that their circumstances were dire. They knew that where they were was not going to be it. But they didn't decide to abbreviate their story and cut it short. Well, let's just die here. No, we're going to go. We're going to go because they were assigning value to their story. Their story matters. Your story matters, right? It does. My story matters. This is important. So I want to close out with this scripture. It's very important. It's very dear to my heart. In my meditation time this week, this scripture came to me. And I'll be honest, when I read it, I literally cried. I was like, this is in the Bible? So that's the thing. You know, people say a lot of things. Well, the Bible is this, the Bible is that. We're so quick to receive everything else that is created by others, but the Bible we totally dismiss and discount. I mean, do whatever you want, but this Bible has been around for a very long time. And, you know, it has the power to do great things in your life. It has done in mine. So I'd like to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As we close out, we're underscoring the importance of why your story matters. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hold on one second. Let me see. Second Corinthians chapter 6. It says, unknown and yet fully known. I'm going to read it to you now, right? So oftentimes, you know, we feel like we're unknown, but yet we're fully known. I was reading this. And I was blown away, you know, I was blown away by the fact that this is true and that we don't have to go around feeling like, you know, we're just unseen and unheard. And that's not true. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says this. It says, known yet regarded as unknown. Let me read that again. Known yet regarded as unknown and yet fully known by God. So, you know, when I read that this week, I said to myself, wow, a lot of times, you know, when we pay attention to the existential things, to the external world, more than we pay attention to what's happening on the spiritual, on the inner levels of our lives, that's when we begin to believe the lie that, and then we begin to assign value to the external things rather than the internal things. I'm going to tell you, the external things, they are impermanent. They will not last. Even if you look at Buddhism has a concept called impermanence, anatta. And there are a couple more, but those two I'm familiar with. Buddha talked about impermanence. In the world of psychology, we talked about the ego. In Buddhism, they talk about being egoless. In the Bible, it talks about life does not consist of the abundance of things. When I look at all three of those statements, it basically says this: the external world can never bring you peace and happiness. That's not where it is. So oftentimes, you know, we go around feeling like I'm unknown. I need to be known. No, we're fully known. We're fully known by Him. Why don't we seek Him to learn about what it is that He wants us to do? That's where we're going to find our peace. That's where we're going to find answers, or even not even answered more so much, but meaning about what it is that we need to continue doing in our lives. And I'm really trying to close. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and this is the one I really want to close with. It said, God has prepared for us to do good works ahead of time. Now, doesn't that hit you? Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10. God has prepared for us to do good works ahead of time. Those two scriptures during the week really, 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 really hit me. So if God prepared for us to do good works ahead of time, how is it we don't matter? All of us are created to do good works ahead of time. How is it we want to, you know, cut our story short? That's not the right idea. It's not. And those are lies. And I do not want to promote those. What I want to promote tonight is that your story matters. And I hope that Faith for the Journey will continue to be the latter rain, or maybe the first rain for you, that will help to break up this hardness around the kernel, this institution that's inside of you that was really there to continue the growing of your faith. I hope that you will let this podcast continue to speak to your heart as it does for me. Like during the week, I mean, in my meditation time, in my prayer time, you know, as I'm growing and being consistent, you know, consistent with praying and really ramping up my spiritual practices, I'm telling you, I feel very connected to this podcast, and I feel connected to people who are listening, because I want you to know that, you know, hope and optimism is real. It is real. Those are the elements that you'll need to grab a hold of, to hold on to practice, to embrace in your day-to-day living, so you can, you know, make it through day-to-day, and so your story does matter. You have good works to do. Each of you listening, you have good works to do. God has designed it for you ahead of time. It is your responsibility existentially to find out from Him what it is that He has for you to do. Listen, I thank you so much for joining me for episode number 5. I look forward to joining you next week, Saturday at 6 o'clock. And remember, ramp up. Pick one spiritual thing to do this week. Is it, I don't know, some people don't like to go to church. That's fine. But maybe you can listen to something that's spiritual and that's uplifting. Maybe you can pray. Maybe you can, you know, take a walk and talk out loud. You know, that can be prayer. There are different types of prayer to do. Maybe you can pray with someone or listen to uplifting, you know, spiritual music. Maybe you can find, you know, a competent and sound, you know, therapist to begin to work through maybe some abandonment or rejection issues that perhaps keeps you so void and numb and distant and isolated and keeps you from really growing your faith. So consider one of these things that I just mentioned and see what you can tap into until I see you next time. Thank you so much. God bless you. And I'm going to play, I love this song by William Murphy. I'm praying for you because I am.
despite the pain you feel, he will come through. Now I'm praying for you.
Guys, thank you so much. I'll see you next Saturday. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.